Well, I want to welcome you to the House of Manna. Sometimes we just go in different directions, but truly, when we yield to His Spirit, He can move. And He has His way, not our way. And He does His bidding, not our bidding. And I've witnessed it today. I've witnessed it. All because it takes place in that time where you yield to Him. Everything. I just thank God for that. I thank God for that. And I thank you. I know it's a weekend where many are out and about and they have plans, but my Sundays, I always tell God, I want you first before anything else. I say it every day. I do. But I know how Sundays are for people. You know, for some people, it's the only day off. I get it. I do. But the Bible says that we should come together and congregate together and forsake not the assembling of the saints together in His presence. You never know when somebody is going to bring to you what you're in need of. If you're in isolation, you'll miss it. But when you're in congregation, you receive it. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the House of Man on the podcast. I thank you that you tuned in. Get ready. I'm going to move quickly because God is moving quickly. The heart of the Father. He is my deliverer of the snares. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read out of the NIV. I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures. I will still have you here for a little bit and get you out on time. Amen. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2 out of the NIV, reads in this wise. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Hallelujah. That her sin has been paid for. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Jump down, if you would, please, to verse 28. Of Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31 out of the NIV reads this wise. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. Even youths, the youth, grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not be faint. Lord, I thank you for your word that is true yesterday, today, and forevermore. I thank you that everything shall pass away, but what will remain is your word. I thank you, God. That means that I can continually walk and know that your word is working on my behalf. I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, praise the Lord. Oh, say it like you mean it. Oh, say it like you really feel it now. Say it like this was the fourth quarter and your team just won. Praise the Lord. Why? Because He says, comfort, comfort my people. Woo! Because they will receive from the Lord's hand double for their sins. Double. I said, Lord, I want double. I've been going, it says sin. I said, well, as a sinner. And I know what kind of sins I did. Lord, don't let me tell my testimony in here. No. Y'all be covering your ears like, Pastor, how did God pick you? Because of all my mess, I have a message. All my tests. I have a testimony. All He tells us to do is to bring His good news, and we overcome with what? The word of the Lord and our testimony. Guess what the trick of the enemy is? To keep you from telling yours. Oh, I don't want to tell anybody what I'm going through because then they're going to start judging me. Tell them. It's on them if they start judging you. It's on them if they start talking about you. It's on them if they come against you. But the Bible says that if we overcome with the word of the Lord and our testimony, we've got to share it. Right? I can almost guarantee you 100% that every time you're getting ready to do something for the Lord, something brings you back down. Every time you're getting ready to start moving and running for God, something trips you up. Well, I'm just trying to tell you that every time I stumble, there's purpose behind my stumble. Something caused it. Maybe it's me. Maybe I wasn't looking where I was going and I just tripped. Maybe it was had nothing to do with me. Maybe something was made to make me stumble and I didn't see it. What do you do when you don't see? You're not prepared for what is coming. Now, if I was to tell you that the water is going to be tainted and you can't have clean drinking water, where are y'all going to go? You're going to go get water, aren't you? Because you knew something was coming. But in the spiritual realm, what happens is we don't see it. Or we can say, I'm discerning God, I discern this, and you discern wrong. Because we go with our emotions. Or we sense something, but we can't quite put our finger on it. It says there's something that's going on, and you've got to understand. When you're running after the things of God, sometimes you lose your footing. You lose your stride. How many of you ran track before? Not now, but before. Because if you raise your hand, I'm running track right now. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit here. You know, I told you, I'm not a fast runner. Wasn't back then either. I think I had two left feet. So the coach said, stay on your left side. Why? Because when you have two left feet, you always go left. So just stay there. So I couldn't run real fast, but I had to give it my all. And there was times when I gave my all so fast, I put my head down. You know how we do. Put our head down and we just go. We close our eyes, start running. And I'd fall a lot. Tell the truth. I would. But he says, if you just give me your all, even if you fall, get up and keep running. Because the next person's going to take it further than you. So I'm tired of stumbling and falling. I mean, like that commercial with that little thing. I fall and I can't get up. You press that button. Press that button and say everything for me. Don't try to contact me and tell me what happened. Just get here. I'll press the button. Just come. I shouldn't have to tell you what's wrong. The whole reason for that button is, well, Marty's in trouble again. He fell again. Let me just go and help him. I'm not even going to ask what happened. Let's just go. Right? So I said, God, I feel like I'm wearing that necklace that says, I've fallen, I can't get up. He said, has it been hard? Yeah, it's been hard. I think I need to have a beeper on one side and have the button in my hand because I've been falling a lot. What's the beeper for? Because God's paging me. Son, don't go down that way. So I look at my, you know, y'all don't know what pages are no more. Remember those ones? The glow in the dark ones or the see-through ones? And then the page and... You were really cool if you had two of them. Look at here. We're really in the house of manna. Oh, that's when you were dealing, right? You had two of them just because you're a drug dealer. No, I was a doctor. I was a doctor. I was going to come bring you some happiness. Sometimes I get them mixed up. Which one called me? So, and then they would give a code. I would forget the code. What's that mean? I wasn't really good at it. But I'd always stumble. Always stumble and fall. So it's like, God, can you put that page right there? Every time I'm getting ready to go somewhere, just beep me and tell me, hey. Going down the wrong way. But then I would hold that little button in my hand because I know I'm going to fall. And just get me back up, God. He says, wouldn't it be better for you to see what's coming? If I'm always having to pick you up because of your messes, you ain't learning from them. I know it's Communion Sunday. We're going to commune with God right now. Lord, what is it that makes me stumble and fall? He said, I'm going to show you. Go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Everybody, oh, that's the one I pray every time for protection. I pray for protection. I'm protection. I'm protection. I pray that I walk around the house. Psalm 91! Psalm 91. Everybody says you got to pray Psalm 91. When I started breaking down Psalm 91, I said, oh, no, uh-uh. No wonder why I'm going through some stuff. Let's begin reading here. I'm going to read out NIV. Follow along, if you would, in the versions that you have. I said versions that you have. Psalm 91, verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. Whoever dwells. Does that mean only the saved? Whoever dwells. So if you know there's protection in God and you seek it, you'll rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Okay, now we're stating right here in verse 2. What is He? My refuge and fortress. And I will trust in Him. Right? You read that, right? Okay. Now you're stating who He is in Psalm 91. So you go around your whole house, Psalm 91, Psalm 91. Okay, you better trust in Him. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. You see that, verse 3? Did He say He's going to keep you from getting in it? No, He said He will save you from the fowler. In other words, you've already been ensnared. And from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence. Here we go again. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When I read this, I said, Lord, I can see why people go through and start declaring Psalm 91 because of the promises in there. But don't forget what Psalm 91 really means, is that you're already caught up. You're caught up. If you would put your attention in verse 3. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. What is that? What is a fowler's snare? Do y'all know what a fowler's snare is? It's a trap. Trap. I said, Lord, show me it about the fowler. So I started doing a study on the fowler. This is what it is. A professional bird catcher. Professional. In the days previous to firearms, birds were captured with nets spread on the ground in traps and snares. I want you to just listen to that. Professional bird catchers would catch the bird in nets where? On the ground. Now, when I look at birds, and I have a bird feeder in the back, and I put in all the seed, and I get my coffee, and I just watch the birds. Okay, nice. God, you're so good. And every now and then, this pesky squirrel comes. Get my BB gun out. Just, what do I do? I'm like, man, you're stealing all the seed. And the birds, they'll try to eat from the feeder, but then they're on the ground. So I started thinking, how are we getting ensnared? By a professional fowler. Birds, sure, when they're soaring, they're great, but they're usually found foraging. They don't eat in the trees. They eat on the ground. Okay, just listen. Every time you try to go get a word from the Lord, and every time you start working the things for God, every time you start getting ready to go to church, it starts. It starts, and it starts really, really fast. So the fowler puts a net on the ground. He's a professional at it. So when the birds come down to start to feed, that's when he grabs them. He captures them. I said, Lord, wait a minute. Hold up now. Every time I drive my car and there's a bird on the... They're quick. But he says there's nothing holding their feet. The net gets them entangled so that they can't fly. That's why every time you want to start doing things for God and you start moving to get into that next level with God, you get ensnared by something. Because the fowler has come to get you caught up in some things before you soar. It's when you're down, he comes. Because when you're up, he can't stop you. But when you're down, he comes and he tries to get you ensnared into his traps. He tries to come in to keep you from getting to that position where God really wants you. That's why in the times when you start going through something, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Get together. If he can keep you away from church, he's going to keep you away from the food. Oh, but I listen to the podcast, Pastor. I know I'm good on the podcast, too. But here's what he says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Why? Because if one can put 1,000, how many can two? 10,000. Wait a minute. You would think 2,000. The numbers increase in your favor. I like his math. Now, wait a minute. When I'm fighting by myself, I'm putting 1,000. But if I get together and lock arms with someone, like a minstrel that is playing, now I'm putting 10,000 to flight. But what if you come together in the assembling of the saints, and now you're putting many to flight? He says that that's why I keep my people engaged with me. That they're not on the ground. They're not foraging for things because I will bring the substance for you when you need it. But every time you're getting ready to soar, something's going to ensnare you. Every time you're getting ready to go and do something for God, he wants to try to stop you and keep you. He wants to take you down. He wants to put a trap so that you get caught. Listen to this method. The fowler would take young birds from a nest, raise them by their hands, and once they became very tame, he would put them in cages and hide them so that the cries from the birds that were tamed would bring in others from flight down. Are you hearing this? Have you ever felt like just things ain't working out? What happens? Your cries go up. Your cries go up, and it brings others to you. Just because you're sitting there. I've trained you. I've caught you. I took you out of your nest with my hands. I fed you. I kept you, but I put you in a cage. I've trapped you. Now you're going to rely on me to feed you. But your cries will get those that are soaring to come. The ones that have been soaring now come to the aid of the one that has been entrapped. Now, that's one of them. but more come. Here's the trick of the enemy. I will use the one that I have trained, the one that I have encaged and ensnared, to call upon the ones that I couldn't get. Because they're soaring. They're already flying. They're free. But you'll go looking for the one that is crying out. Our job is to know which is the one that's a trap. Oh, man. Just because there's one crying doesn't mean that's who you're supposed to go and save. Oh. Okay, now this kind of rocks some of y'all's religious minds. Wait a minute. They're crying. We're supposed to go out and reach out to everybody, not the ones that have been set up for a trap for you. If they don't want nothing to do with God, they have nothing to do with God, they're only there to get you trapped. We got to make sure that we're discerning in this hour. If the enemy's going to keep you separated, there's a reason for it. Because he wants to not just keep you trapped, but wants to get others to come follow you. It's a trap. Thank you. Now watch this. Now the ones that were ensnared, they were in a cage, they cry out, so the other ones come. Now this is what it says that the fowler would do when the person with the cage bird, they wouldn't try to trap it to keep it. They would kill it. They would kill it with either a bow and arrow. One of the things that they would use was a stick. And at the end of the stick was like this, I don't know what you would call it, but it was big and round, and they would throw it as it was coming, as the birds were coming in to get with the ones looking for them with the cage. They would throw it, and it would wound them. And the ones that were wounded were used for sacrifice. Then the other ones, what they would do is the ones that got on the ground, they would throw these sticks that had these leather straps around it. And as they're running, they would throw it. And it would trap their legs, and they would stumble, and they would fall. When God gives you directives to do a certain thing, the trap's already been made. You've got to watch your step. You may be soaring for a minute and coming down to get more instructions. What do we do when we're going to do things for God? We come and get instructions. We come and ask God, what's next, God? I got to trust you. I got to believe in you. You're the one that I have to listen to. That's when the enemy starts coming in, because he starts speaking through your emotions. He starts speaking through your soulish realm. And once you start getting things, now you want to start taking off and run, right? And that's when he starts throwing things at you to make you stumble and fall. I don't want to be ensnared anymore. I don't want to get caught when I'm running for the things of God. I want to continue run after God. I want to continue go after it. I want to obtain everything that he has for me. Even if I'm running up the hill and he throws something at me, I want to know that there's something maybe coming, but I'm quick to soar once again. Even though I get weary and I get tired, I know that if I seek refuge in him, I will soar with him. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's just for one person, or maybe it's for a whole bunch of us in here. But I know one thing's for sure. The snare of the enemy, he's a professional at it. That's what he does. And we've got to make sure that we're watching it. Verse 3 out of Psalms 91 says, for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I said, God, how are you going to, if we're already caught, how are we going to get out? How are we going to get out? He says, read this. Psalms 124 and verse 7. Psalms 124, verse 7. David promises that Almighty will deliver us from the evil plans laid to ruin us. As a bird, sometime in its struggle, slips through the hair and escapes from the snare. Sometimes the plan of the enemy has holes in it, and you can slip through. Guess what that is? Favor. Why? Because you chose to seek shelter under the Most High. Did you find it?
We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net.
We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. So if he puts something to catch me, I still got to trust and believe, even though I'm caught, I can escape. What does the Bible say the Holy Spirit will do every time you're getting ready to sin? Give you a way of escape. So the Holy Spirit's going to find you wherever you're at and make a way for you to escape from it. I said, God, I thank you right now. I thank you that you're making a way for me to escape. He says, now. Since the fowlers try to trap you and keeping you from reaching your potential and running your course, trying to make you a sacrifice, trying to control you, trying to manipulate you, I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come in the midst of what you're tied up in the midst of what you've been caught with. I'm going to make a way for you to escape. And once I set you free, you're going to soar. He said, but usually when you see a bird that has been caught in a snare, they're weary from the fight. They're tired. They're tired from the struggles. They're tired from the fighting. They're tired from trying to get out. That you see that their wings are tired. They're not even flapping no more. It's like they're getting caught up even more. Just like when we're in a situation that we can't see our way out. We start to struggle. We start to panic. We wear ourselves out. But what did the Bible say for those that are weak? He gives them strength. I'm here to encourage you, like he encouraged me this morning. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to remove you out of the snare. I'm going to remove you. Now the next thing in verse 3. So surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly what? Pestilence. What is pestilence? Plagues. Sickness. Maybe you've suffered something that all of a sudden just showed up in your life. Maybe something is in your life like a sickness or a disease that nobody else had. Or maybe somebody did have and you saw people get worse and worse and worse to the point of even death. And you're the one that should be going in that direction, but you're not in that direction. God is saving you from that very thing, that very outcome. Why? Because he is the one that's going to come in. And he says in the very next verse, watch this. The very next verse, he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. Why his feathers? Like a mama eagle comes with the eaglets that have been struggling, trying to learn how to fly. Gathers them. Covers them. Keeps them under the wings to protect them. I've been fighting this thing for a long time, God. I don't even know when it showed up in my lineage. I don't even know how it even got in my life. I don't know why this plague has come my way. I didn't see it in my life before. I didn't see it in my lineage. And it just showed up. It took sister so-and-so out. It took brother so-and-so out. But it's not going to come and take me out. Because I trust and believe in you that you're going to keep me and that you're going to keep my family together. And this sickness, this disease, this plague is not going to take my life. I'm going to live and I'm not going to die. I will see and foresee everything that you have for me because I will seek shelter under your wings. There is nothing that is going to take me out from doing your perfected will. I will continue to do your will. Whew. I thank God that he's going to be covering me with his feathers, keeping me under his wings. He will be my shield. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of night. The terror of night. Well, what plague came to Pharaoh at night? Death. Death. That means that every spirit that tries to take you out, whether it be the spirit of suicide, giving up, quitting, or not even believing anymore. That pestilence is not there to take you out anymore. Because it's going to cover you. He's going to cover you. You may have had the thought before, but now he's removing it. You may have been ensnared by something that someone said, but he's removing it. Now everything that has been coming your way to try to make you quit or try to take you out or try to keep you in the very clutches of the enemy. He says, now I'm going to make a way of escape for you. You're going to come out of the net. You're going to come out of the snares. And you're going to see that truly I'm the one that has been watching after you. Truly I'm the one that has been protecting you and keeping you. I'm the God that says you're going to live and not die. You're not going to end your life. You're going to fulfill your destiny. You're going to fulfill your purpose. You've gone through some hard times. You've gone through some hardships. Every time you try to soar, you get ensnared. Every time you try to run and do the things of God, something tries to trip you out. But I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Not one plague is going to come your way and touch you because I'm the God that keeps you under my wings. I will save you from the fowler's snare. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that is there. Moses knew the plagues. He understood all the plagues. They are a representation of the Egyptian gods. What did God do? Did everything that tried to act like a god in their life, He showed them He was bigger and better than them. Now, what God has showed up in your life that's not good for you? God's going to show up and represent Himself for you. If you think you have no future, He's going to stand there and tell you, my plans for you is to give you a hope and a future. If you don't understand what you're going through, I'm here to give you an understanding. And whatever you struggled with, I'm here to help you get out of it. Do you believe He's going to get you out? Do you believe He desires to get you out? He's the one that wants to bring out everything that the enemy has put in so He can take you out of that. So He can take you out and take every effect that the enemy's tried to do in your life and to do away with you. I thank God for that. That's why we can walk around and just thank God. Lord, thank you. I could have been ensnared. I know that just on the way to church today, I could have gotten in a big old argument with so-and-so and her sister that or honey this or boo-boo that or whatever. It could have been a big old mess. And then I'm coming into church and I ain't praising God. What for? I always have problems just coming to church. Why should you even just keep? I should just stay home. That's the trick of the enemy. You ever know when every time you feel like, oh, I'm just not going to go today, you're going to miss your word. You're going to miss your word. Get to church. Get to church. Because if you don't get to church and you don't bring your tithe, this, watch this. Oh, thank you. If you don't bring your tithe into the storehouse, the devourer can't be rebuked. I know some of you are like, well, but I give on PayPal. Good. Come to church. Come to church. Well, Pastor, I live in another city and I listen to your podcast. Get to church. Fellowship. Get to church. Well, I follow someone on online. Better get to church. Get to church. Because your blessing is within the congregation. Get to church. Don't let it be the great falling away from church just because it's my only day off. It could be your only day left. You may not wake up. Well, I'm not sending a curse up. I'm just giving you an example. You may not wake up tomorrow. It was my day off and I just wanted to be home. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the presence of God. A corporate prayer and a corporate anointing is far greater than yours individually. God wants to meet you. So whatever the snare is, know that God is going to deliver you from it. Whatever the enemy has tried to put up to keep you from getting yours, He's going to put an end to it. He is going to remove the things that have been set up to keep you bound. Amen. I want you, if you would, go ahead and put your Bibles away, your notes away. As we take communion today,